Tonight, I want us to look at the subject of responsibility. Being a responsible individual. Being a responsible Christian. And responsibility focuses for us from our association with Jesus Christ. Jesus showed us, showed his disciples what responsibility truly was. The true meaning of being responsible for your calling. True meaning of being responsible for others. So as Jesus comes, he accepts his responsibility to follow through with his commitment to shed his blood for our sins. He certainly towed the line, making certain that he would follow through. You, I, or any other human being ever born would not have a chance if Jesus Christ had not accepted his responsibility. Now, again, sometimes we forget this. Jesus accepted responsibility from the human side. 100% God, 100% man, I know. But he had to conquer it from the human part. And from his human side, he accepted his responsibility to become the ultimate Lamb of God sacrifice. All the prophets had said he was coming. All the prophets said one day that there will, at the coming of the Messiah, you'll no longer have to ask anybody anything because I will reveal myself within you. That's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes, but in order for us to be so blessed with our relationship with Christ, Jesus had to go through living hell. You see, he had to conquer hell for us. That's why hell doesn't have a chance with us. He conquered life. He conquered life for us. It was his responsibility as the ultimate sacrifice. Or remember the scapegoat focus. He was the one that would take all the sins upon himself. But he was literally and is literally the sacrifice of God the Father. So, again, once he sacrificed himself, our salvation is based on his sacrifice. Our salvation is based on the first ultimate 100% human being accepting his responsibility for the ministry that his Father in heaven called him to. Now, Matthew 26, verse 28, this is Jesus speaking. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Okay, Jesus is telling his disciples, I want you to understand what the cup represents. I want you to understand what the bread represents. I want you to understand that I am doing what I'm doing for your sake. I am doing it so that you can be with me where I am. And he said, shed for many. Don't misunderstand the shed for many. Meaning you and I would probably say, well, he shed for all. Jesus said that he shed for, his blood was shed for whosoever will come. To shed for all in a sense of whosoever will come, that's all. But he gave the human race the freedom of choice. You and I did not lose that freedom of choice when we accepted Jesus. Therefore, as I've mentioned many times, when you get out into this life, he says, if you're going to go from A to Z, and I just want to make sure that you understand that some of those paths are going to be rougher than the other. But the path that you'll want to get on is the path that I direct you to. So therefore, when we get off the path again, we're on the wrong path, then we feel the leadership of getting back on the path. We are never counted as not his children. But we are counted so often as a child that has decided to wallow with the pigs and be with the hogs and the flop. And that's called the world. Therefore, if Jesus did all of this, my focus is on that we must accept then our responsibilities. Now, salvation of my soul and your soul was the responsibility and is the responsibility of the blood of Jesus Christ. So when I'm standing before the Lord, if I had not accepted Christ, then we understand from Scripture that that means it's we are counting His blood as naught or counting His blood as unimportant because we become so pious, then we sort of allow everything to overshadow the true Lamb of God. Anytime we pull more attention to ourselves than to who Jesus is. Therefore, He says, which is shed for many. Again, not all will accept it, yet all are offered. Responsible, we must be in prayer. Psalm 18, verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, this is King David, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Okay, I'm responsible to pray. Now, why am I responsible? I'm already saved. So, I mean, wait a minute, Lord, I'm saved. And knowing that I'm saved and realizing through Scripture that nothing can pull me out of your hands, I don't see any reason for me to bother you. That's the attitude of a lot of Christians today, saying, well, I just don't want to bother God. And that's not true. For one thing, we become so ornery sometimes. It's not we don't want to bother God. We don't want God bothering us. To pray and lift up our heart to the Lord is to recognize who He is as the Savior of the world through His Son. And when we pray, acknowledging Him on His throne, instead of us trying to get our own little throne and say, now God, come down and bless this. That's like the whole focus of, well, do you ever pray? Well, I do when there's nothing left to do but pray. But God says that when you and I have that personal relationship to Jesus, do you really believe that a relationship will continue to grow when you don't speak to each other? Do you really believe that a relationship will be strengthened when nobody's talking to anybody? And the Lord says, tell me, explain to me, Larry, as you're getting ready to go through the next day, what do you need from me? See, God wants us to ask. God, well, you know, when something, again, is tragic, we don't hesitate. But then what happens? Well, it, you know, that loved one, I asked God to bless the loved one that they might live, and my loved one died, and I'm mad at God. Well, how can you be mad at a stranger who's done nothing to you? Why would I be angry with God if I right now was struck dead or was whatever would happen to me? I've been blessed with a great life on this earth. I've been blessed getting to have friends, family like you all. The blessings that He's given far outweighs any fear that I'd ever have of what the world can do. Well, okay, how do you stay strong? Prayer. Prayer is the strength. Prayer is the glue. Prayer is the stick-to-itism. I don't think that's a word, is it? It is now. We ought to put it somewhere. Stick-to-itism. Stick to it. You know, stick to your convictions. You want to see whether a person's truly living under conviction? Pay attention to whether they change their mind with every wave that comes in from the ocean going back and forth. Well, today, let me tell you, I can tell you that Jesus is Lord. Well, I can tell you Jesus is Lord every day, and the days that I'm not here, Jesus is Lord. Therefore, and I realized what I was told that one time, you want to find out, Vance, how important you are. You take a big gallon of water bucket, you stick your finger in, pull it out. The hole that is left there, that's how important you are. Well, being a country boy, yeah, you got to pull out the bucket and try it just to see. Yeah. A few ripples. That's right. But see, for the world, that's how we're looked at. In the eyes of God, we're a child of God. And every one of us are important to one another. We forget that in church. That's the chaos in churches and all of this today is just where people have forgotten to love one another. If we have forgotten to care and be concerned about the things we need to be concerned about. So the Lord says, be responsible in prayer. My responsibility is to pray for you. Your responsibility is to pray for your pastor. I thought it was quite interesting when the Pope said, pray for me, every place that he went. That's from Scripture, as you all will well know. But we are to lift up one another in the name of the Lord. Next, be responsible in faith. Well, I'm saved by grace through faith. The faith of me saying, yes, I'm accepting what I don't see. But for a Christian, when we're accepting, or when we say that, I'm accepting what I don't see, and I realize that what I don't see is God, yet as a Christian, as you grow in Christ through prayer, the Lord is so close to us, it's like you can see him. And I'm sure, as I've said before, on many people, it's obvious when they have a vision close to death, during the dying process. And I love being there. It may sound a little rough, but I love being in the presence of a Christian when God comes to take them home. Responsible in faith, James 1, 3, and 4. You know that under pressure, here it is, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work. So you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. Okay, faith we can talk about. You let pressure hit. What kind of pressure? Every one of us have seen it in church, this one and many others. People so excited about wanting to serve the Lord, wanting the calling of God, get the calling of God, and all of a sudden some big problem arises. They get upset and leave the church. And I mean not just a church. They leave the church, period. I tried that church thing once and it didn't work. Well, that's the problem when you try the church thing once. It has nothing to do with trying the church thing. It's focusing on your faith. And faith will grow when we are under pressure. God wants to see how we will stand when the world stands against you. It's not the focus of, are you going to go in there and you're going to lead them all to Jesus? Which I thought when I told you all that, when I was called into ministry and started a prison chaplain, I never understood what the big deal was. All you have to do is go into prison, lead everybody to Christ, shut the doors, no more problem. Well, I found with by the end of 30 years that that didn't work too well. And sadly, I do remember in an interview that when I was asked, I said I could only say that, you know, I was looking at my own hand trying to remember how many I really witnessed over those years. And I could not. I may have mentioned a few names, but I couldn't get off of one hand. 30 years. But you see, it wasn't my call. That didn't mean these people didn't move out of the country and all, or go wherever they did. They got the word of God. So what do we do? When your faith is under pressure, we need to get excited. We need to get excited when people come against us because we stand for the Lord. That's faith under pressure. That is faith where God is watching us. Oh, yes, but they're taking everything I have. I'm losing all of this. I'm losing all of that. I got news for everybody. We don't own squad anyway. And when I leave this body, I'm not taking any of it with me. So what's going to matter is how much love did I leave behind? Not these things that we acquire over the years. I've noticed that, you know, we've got boxes of stuff, and that's exactly what it is. We don't know what the stuff is. Well, why don't you throw it away? I have no idea. I guess one day we think the Lord's going to come and say, take that box, this box, and this one, and let's go. But faith is, again, full trust in who Christ is. Don't push yourself. Be careful. And I'm talking about pushing yourself. Don't put yourself in situations that you already realize that you may break in, such as, you know, in a lack of judgment of faith, however you want to put it. But, you know, don't do that. Like the guy who said he was an alcoholic and wanted to start going to the bars and witnessing. Well, for one thing, you go into a bar and everybody's drunk. Witnessing ain't going to work. But that was a good reason to go and to back off of the faith that Jesus has given us a healing. When Jesus gives us a healing of whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whether it's any kind of habit, whether it's any kind of addiction. When Jesus gives us a healing, folks, it doesn't make it easy for us. It doesn't mean that our bodies are not fighting because this is what we're addicted to. And God didn't take that away from us. Just gave us the knowledge that what I'm doing is not right. So therefore, I would need faith to get off of whatever it is. And a lot of the habits that I'm talking about, a lot of the addictions, one of the greatest and worst addiction I have ever seen is that of shopping. And I mean, that has split up more families than any other kind of addiction of going and buying. Why a woman wanted 2,000 pair of shoes? And they could say the same about me. Why you would want this or why you would want that, I don't understand. But we all fight it. We have to deal with the addiction to this world. And the addiction to this world is wanting something that someone else has. Or we wanting something better than someone else has. If we get trapped into that, that becomes idolatry. And idolatry, again, goes against God. And you don't have to be out here marching around with acting like an Indian with a Colt, killing the chickens and all of this type of stuff and dripping the blood to be idol worshipers. I've seen people that would worship their, close friends become, they're hooked on a personality, and that personality becomes their idol. Preachers ought to focus on Christ becoming an idol. The idol for our life, meaning slowing us down. You all remember when they put idlers on, about everything. And they'd have an idler on it. And slow you down. You couldn't go past that that speed. Yeah, it was, governor's what we call it. But it, what it did, it only allowed the engine to idle or govern to a certain point. And then, like Larry and the rest of us, we knew how to get rid of the idle or the governor. You just floor it one time and it blow it right on and you can do it. Well, that seems like what we're doing to life. The next one is be responsible in listening. Okay, we're saved by faith. Therefore, we're taking on the world. But we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. If the Lord really wants me to do something, he just needs to wake me up and tell me. Our problem is we don't listen. Well, you've said that with your loved one. You never listen to me. You have selective hearing. I've heard that a couple of times. You just don't hear. Well, you can read Scripture, but you need to listen to the Scripture. You need to listen to the Word of God instead of just reading it so you can say, I read this much Scripture today. It is good that you did, but did you pay any attention? Did you listen for the Holy Spirit to speak to you while you were reading? Proverbs 1:5. A wise person will listen and continue to learn. And an understanding person will gain direction. Stopping sometimes, I always get someone, I think that's from India, and I will stop in a place to ask for directions. Well, I'm nodding and grunting, like, yep, and get back to the vehicle and think I have absolutely no idea what they just said. Did you ask them? Yeah, ask them. And that's when I was thankful for GPS. Now I'm in an argument with Siri, the gal on there, so all the time. Okay, you got to continue to learn, but you can't learn if you don't listen. So Christians, this is our responsibility. See, our responsibility is to listen to God and then properly share his truth. Well, and we expect the world to know that. The world that does not know Christ, folks, they're not going to want to listen or not know to listen. It is the Christian's responsibility to listen to God and take God's message. Well, what is his message? Well, he has a whole book full of them for us. And in that book called the Bible, there is a place for every individual you will ever come in contact with. But if you haven't listened to what God's told us to do, then how are they going to know? If the Christian doesn't listen, what makes you think the world's going to listen to the Christian? Christianity has almost become a throwaway name. It's almost a slang anymore to the world. All these Christians, they're holier than thou and all of this. And then all you got to do is say, now, how many Christians do you know? Well, I've never met them, but I heard it on TV. Christianity has always been a personal relationship. When someone says, well, are all religions headed in the teaching to go to the same place? No. And I keep hearing people say that, oh, yeah, it's the same God. No, it's not. Okay. Next one is be responsible in service. Now listen, we're responsible in prayer. Prayer leads us into faith. Faith, when we have faith, we need to be responsible and listen to what our Savior is telling us to do. Now, next, we've got to be responsible in service. Okay, God has said, this is what I want you to do. Fine, I've listened, and this is what God said. But for me to say, yes, Lord, I will, and then not do it, am I doing any better? It goes back to the old question of, is there any difference between the individual who cannot read and the individual who can read but doesn't? And there isn't any difference. It comes to the same end. Isaiah 6, verse 8. After this, I heard the Lord ask, is there anyone I can send? Well, someone go for us. Us, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay. I'll go, I answered, send me. Or in the old English, here am I, Lord, send me. So, I will go. That's being responsible in service. Many people will say, yes, I really want to do this, but we're going to have to wait until I have time. Well, I have realized in aging that I don't have that much time for anything except for the Lord. My time for the Lord means an eternity. So therefore, be about our Father's business. Why are so many leaving the church? They're leaving the church because of sin, folks. Sin. It's always been the enemy of Christ. Sin has always been the enemy of love and peace and joy. So sin today says that when you listen to the word, instead of being responsible to go, here my Lord, send me, it's, Lord, here I am, but please send someone else. So therefore, Christ was responsible in his service for us, and yet we refuse to be responsible in our service to him. Next is be responsible in commitment. Okay. We have prayed, we have focused on our faith, we've listened, we have been assigned in service. Now, are we going to be responsible in commitment? Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. We are to be brothers and sisters. The brotherhood of warriors has always been strong because we've been in battles, or whether you've been in battles together or separate, you have that bond. Christianity used to be that way with the bond. I remember the yoke fella ministries the brothers were yoked together. They wore the little yoke. You all ever remember seeing that? It was an ox yoke. And it's called Yoke Fella. And y'all haven't seen that? Oh, it's really, because when I came here in 95, 94, when I started as interim, I was asking about then, could you have a Yoke Fella ministry here, which was where Christian brothers would yoke themselves together, meaning in Christ, in prayer and all, and to be a part of a special ministry that God would call us to do. Great ministry in those days. I don't know what, I have not heard of that for years myself. I think if you pull it up on a computer, you'll find the background on it. But be responsible in commitment. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Give preference to one another. Christians are set apart for God's service. Throughout Scripture, you will find that we are to give preference to the Christians. Yes, I am to give preference to a brother in Christ. If you lend a brother money in Christ, you're not allowed to charge interest. And my suggestion is lend a person the money that you can afford to lose and leave it alone. But be responsible in that commitment, the commitment to one another. I can even remember way back of listening to my grandparents talk about Noah. Now, Noah yelling, I'm not going to do that because he's a Christian brother, and I am going to support him. And you know, I can remember hearing those things then, and I hear, you know, today that it may be my Christian brother. Yeah, but you know, the guy that lives for the devil, he's smarter than your Christian brother, so I'm going to support him. No. Okay. And the last one is for us, be responsible in suffering. Again, when you all are reading these down, notice how it will go. Or as how it'll go according to your pastor, as I put it on here. Responsible in suffering. Always remembering, Jesus accepted his responsibility for much more than I have on this list. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It's talking about, well, Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Many Christians believe that they should not have to go into any suffering. Did not Christ suffer and conquer suffering? Yes, but folks, the key is into the conquering of suffering. As a Christian, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer for nothing else in this generation because you profess to be a Christian. So you're going to suffer only for a little while. And right after that, Jesus says, it'll be time. What an honor to be condemned because you're serving Jesus. Oh, gosh, folks. The God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Christ, after you have suffered a while, it's nothing. And when I think of our suffering as nothing, compare it back to what Jesus went through. And you got to get deep on that one. Jesus went through that through emotions. It wasn't just from the beating. It was emotional. It was dealt with his psyche. He had to conquer everything and as a human being. And once he got it conquered, it seemed like I'm remembering said, it is finished. Therefore, knowing that all of these situations that we can find ourselves in, it's already secure. I'm already secure in heaven. It's like I'm already there. So why am I wasting precious time not telling the world about Jesus?